I'm going to talk about the Great White Throne today, and I can't wait to, because my two favorite parts of it are that it's great and it's white. And yes, I am a spiritual genius in that I know what the Great White Throne is. It is great, it is white, and it is a throne. I will tell you what it isn't. After I tell you that I am very excited about my new sleeping arrangements, there's a spiritual lesson to be had here. I intend to make it. As you know, I've been sleeping on this futon back here. You see this futon? This thing has been the bane of my existence sleeping-wise. Now, I have great good fortune when I sit down there and write the newsletter. I have great good fortune. Good things happen. But when I sleep on it, it's a piece of junk. And I just wake up and my back is killing me. My hips are killing me. So I got this. I've always known that that firm ground, there's something very spiritually satisfying about being on firm ground. And they say that if you stand on the earth barefoot, you get energy from the earth. I'm not getting all woo on you here. I'm just saying that God made the good earth. And so we think we need to overprotect ourselves. This is so true in so many areas of life where we think we need cushion and we think we need extra special treatment. And it leads to getting spoiled extra special treatment. When people give you things for nothing, let's say, what if you got paid for not doing anything? You think, boy, that would be fun. No, it just like takes away your drive to work. So it's good for human beings to be up against some kind of a struggle. But I'm telling you this, my new sleeping arrangement is not a struggle at all. It's pure joy. I'm going to point you in the direction now. You ready? If you're watching the laundry cam, look at this. Look at this. I decided to sleep right on the floor. And let me tell you, I am cured of my hip problem and my back problem. I've only been sleeping on this thing for 2 nights, but it's miraculous. I have a ridge rest closed cell foam pad, very thin. You see that I folded it over? Do you see how I folded it over? Very good. Because I only need it on my hips, my ass, and my delicate rib cage. I don't need it on my legs. I don't need it on my legs. Kidding? So look, that's my pillow right there, that red thing there. Yeah. And then there's my ridge rest closed cell. It's closed cell, so you don't need to blow it up. You don't need a pump. You just lay on the thing. It's just simple. You see that purple thing back there? That's my sleeping bag. And then under the sleeping bag is a bin. And so when I make my bed in the morning, I just throw my pillow and my beautiful ridge rest pad into the bin. And then I am done. And it is a marvelous thing to behold. And some of you may not have ever seen my running shoes. I want to show you those right now. These are called the Merrell Vapor Glove 2. Some of you may have seen this. I might have shown you this in Canton because I'm so excited about this stuff. It just excites the heck. This floor excites the heck out of me. That's all I need. So look, this is a Merrell Vapor Glove 2. Merrell, the Vapor Glove. If you're watching the laundry cam, you're about to behold a small miracle. Watch. I am now twisting the Vapor Glove into something resembling a Pillsbury Poppin' Fresh container of gooey, doughy biscuits. This thing, your feet, it's the next best thing to barefoot. Your feet are right up against the road. But Martin, what about the protection that you need from springs and foam and cushions? Nah, that stuff's killing you. It's injuring you. It's putting your feet to sleep and your body's doing all sorts of wacky things that it doesn't understand that it's doing because it doesn't have the wisdom of the human foot against the road to direct the traffic of your bones, your sinews, your tendons. Your foot is so ingenious. It contains so many different parts. It's a creation of God. And I've talked about this many times because I can't get over the beauty of it. And I'm excited about this floor. Okay, now I'm going to get excited about, I'm almost as excited about the Great White Throne. Not quite, but almost. Now, I finished off, I'm going to finish off before the Great White Throne. I'm still going to call this show the Great White Throne, but I finished off, of course, when fire descended from God out of heaven, Revelation 20:10, and it consumed those yo-yos who had the audacity to come up against the citadel of the saints and against Jesus Christ. That was a bad decision. And fire descended, of course, it was influenced by Satan. But fire descended from God out of heaven and devoured them. And that was the end of them. They're just like Indianapolis Jones and the saber-wielding lunatic at the airport in Raiders of the Lost Ark. And the adversary who is deceiving them, who's them? All those nut jobs in Gog and Magog. The adversary who is deceiving them was cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire and sulfur, mind you, where the wild beast and where the false prophet are also, and they shall be tormented day and night for the eons of the eons. Now, you know I could do a whole week of shows on that, and I am going to comment on it in detail, but I'm not going to do that until I get down to verse 14, where human beings are cast into the lake of fire. And there's a huge difference between what happens to these spiritual beings in the lake of fire and what happens, because at this point, they're spiritual beings. They have to be. The spirits have inhabited these physical forms on the earth. And so it might even be a figure of speech of retention, where the spirits who inhabited the false prophet and the wild beast are here. Because I believe that these vessels became possessed. And so they were formerly the beast and the false prophet. Now they are the spirits that inhabited the beast and the false prophet. But as a figure of retention, we're still calling them the beast and the false prophet. Another example of the figure of speech known as retention is when Jesus says, "The deaf shall hear." The deaf shall hear. How can deaf people hear? Right? The deaf will never hear. But we're calling them deaf to associate them with those who were most recently deaf, but who now can hear. It's like the dead are standing at the Great White Throne. Dead people can't stand. So some people, not realizing the figure of speech of retention, in other words, you're retaining a past title. Some people who don't realize that this figure of speech exists, they will invent all sorts of new doctrine. I have a new doctrine that says deaf people can hear. I have a new doctrine that says dead people can stand. It says right here in Scripture, the dead stand before the Great White Throne. The dead, they're standing. Amazing. Dead people stand. No, it's a figure of speech called retention. Okay, now, it's a tie. I'll say this much. Tormented day and night for the eons of the eons. These are both time phrases, day and night. That's a time phrase, eons of eons. We talked about that earlier. I did anyway. You probably listened, and I appreciate that, believe me. Time phrase. King James says forever and ever. I think they do say day and night, but then forever and ever, that's a contradiction of terms. That's an anomaly of insane proportions. It is a mutually exclusive absurdity. Day and night forever. No. Once time, once eternity, ne'er the twain shall meet in a sane mind. Anyway. And here's the figure of speech known as retention right here in verse 12. And I perceived the dead, the great and the small, standing. Figure of speech. Real. We're retaining their former title as dead people. We're retaining it. And we're still calling them dead to differentiate them from the ancient dead. We're differentiating them from those who are alive. And we're really associating them with people who have just been raised from the dead. I saw the dead standing before the Great White Throne. I saw the dead. There they are. They're not dead. Well, they were just dead, and now they're raised from the dead. I perceive the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. Oh yeah, verse 11, I kind of skipped that. And I perceived a great white throne and him who was sitting upon it, from whose face heaven and earth fled and no place was found for them. I'm going to repeat that slower. And I perceived a great white throne and him who was sitting upon it, from whose face earth and heaven fled. I'm going to explain what that means, because it's very important to understand at what point we are here in the Aeonian times. and no place was found for them. For what? For the heaven and the earth. All right, I'm going to go back to the great white throne. I'm a spiritual genius. I know what it is. It's great, and it's white, and it's a throne. Now, the Spirit of God that inspired John to write this has chosen to emphasize two features of the throne, and that is its size and its color. You notice what the great white throne is not called. I wrote these two things down that it's not called. It's not called the average black throne. I'm happy about that. It's a disgusting concept. It's not called the mediocre gray throne. Great white throne. No, it's a mediocre gray throne. No, it's not. It's not a mediocre great gray throne. God hates gray. God wants either black and white. If this throne's not black, it better be white. And it is. This speaks of its goodness. And great speaks of what it will do. And we're going to see what it will do. I might be on the great white throne for a few days. I think you expect that tomorrow for sure. And then probably Monday and Tuesday. It's hard to tell. The greatness of this throne consists in the vastness of its jurisdiction. Think of what this throne has jurisdiction over. There have been many thrones before this one. Throne of the King and Queen of England. Who else has thrones? Oh, France, Louis the 14th, all the Louis back there in Versailles. There have been many thrones, but all the thrones that went before this were related to the living. This throne relates to those who were recently dead. The thrones related to the living, obviously, had no sway over the countless corpses in the tombs and in the ground. In fact, the cemeteries, think of this, the cemeteries of this earth are far more populous than the cities are. I've often made a joke about Winbur, Pennsylvania. I said there are more dead people in Winbur than living people. I lived in Winbur for a year at the hospitality of the Pilkington family, and I never saw so many cemeteries in my life. That's why I joked that there were more people living below the ground in Winbur than above the ground. So for all the greatness of the thrones on earth, and even if there was a worldly, a global monarch, even if there was a king of the earth now, that person's throne would have no sway over the dead. And even if there are 8 billion people on earth, there are more dead people. So the population of the tombs are nobody even thinks of these people anymore. Well, unless they're your loved ones. But I'm telling you that they're all going to come forth. Innumerable multitudes lie beneath the surface. That's it. They don't know they're lying beneath the surface, but they are. And they're waiting for the voice of him who sits upon the great white throne. Isn't that an amazing thought? All the millennia that have come and gone since the death of some will not hinder in the least the one call of God, come forth, and the dead, the great and the small, will come forth. This is a tremendous truth that time, the passage of time, has no influence over the reality of this event taking place. It's no hindrance. Time is no hindrance. A disintegrated body is no hindrance. A body that has been vaporized in fire, it doesn't matter. It's no hindrance. God knows all of the dead. And we've seen, like in the case of Lazarus, he calls Lazarus forth from the grave. Lazarus was only dead for what, 4 days? And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he had to speak the name of Lazarus. He had to personalize it. Lazarus, come forth. Because if he had simply said, come forth, then every tomb would have emptied. Such is the power of the word of God. And so little is the influence of time or circumstance of the corpse. Some corpses are in shallow graves. Some are in deep graves. Some are in tombs. Some are disintegrated. Some have gone to the sea and been consumed by the sea life. It doesn't matter. God created every single person that ended up in that despicable form. The elements are never lost. I'm not saying that God has to reconstruct every element, but there's no element lost. God could pull together a person whose elements have been scattered to the far corners of the earth because he knows where they are. They're little puzzle pieces, right? Very, very little puzzle pieces. But is it beyond God to put those exact elements together? God can do it. I don't think he has to do it, though, because he has the essence of the person. He has the essence. He has kept the essence. It's like a hard drive of a computer. It's got all the information on it. There's no consciousness associated with it. There's no consciousness associated with the hard drive. I'm equating plugging the hard drive into a monitor with consciousness. You take that information, and it doesn't matter what monitor you put it into, does it? You can put it into a computer casing and then plug any monitor in to it. Plug it on your phone. Look at your phone monitor. That information is going to come up. That information will come up on any monitor. So the body doesn't matter. It's the person that matters. And the person can take any kind of body, an old body or a new body. Lazarus' body started to decompose. So he came out not looking his most spiffy, but he was dusted off, unwrapped and good to go. Jesus Christ did not experience any decomposition whatsoever. He was not subject to decay. So good. He had enough bad things happening to him before he died. We don't want to see him decay, and he didn't. Others have decayed horribly. No problem. They will all rise at the single call of God, and they will come forward before God at a throne that is not mediocre. It's not average. It's not black, and it's not gray. It is great, and it is white.